Today is April 14th. We're learning about Shvoch HaMoscha L'Goyim and what it is doing here at this part of the Seder. Okay, well, in heaven, I'm reading in Menachem Kasher's Haggadah Shlema, chapter 33, page 177. Minag Amiras HaPsukim Acharei Kos Shlishi. Right, because we just finished the third cup on benching. Right, each cup is connected to a mitzvah. Kiddush, Magid, benching, and Hallel. Nitkabel b'chol tfutzot Yisrael. Af shelo nizkar lo etzel rasag v'lo etzel Rambam. Ulam misifram misidiram shona. Is that we see this custom throughout all the diaspora. That benching, we say these words. Some go to the door and open the door, but everyone says these words. Although it's not found in the Rambam Sagada, it's not found in Sadia Gaon Sagada. Right? And he quotes different Haggadahs. A Rome Haggadah, he says, they just have the Pasuk Shvoch Moshe Elagoyim. B'minig Osfardim V'atemonim Osifim Es HaPasuk Shel Acharav Ki Ochalos Yaakov Es Nevei Hoishamu. Ashkenaz mosifin od shnei psukim shvoch aleihem za'amach za'amcha v'charon abcha yasigim tudov ba'afes hashmidei mitachas shmei Hashem. That's our minhag. V'sacha kol arba psukim.
Hours in Ashkenaz or like?
That's pretty much all the haggadah is the Maxwell House haggadah.
Yeah, no, I'm saying I don't. Does that include svarim or is?
No, not necessarily. Yes, the Southern French Haggadahs and other psukim from Tehillim. Okay, 10 psukim altogether. All right, so you know, fine. What he does is he shows different Haggadahs. 1, 2, 4, 10. He found a Northern French Haggadah with another 8 psukim. He found an English Haggadah with 17 psukim. Okay. Found a Romanian Haggadah with 8 different psukim, so, okay. Altogether, there's something like 25 different psukim that all the different Haggim say at the door. But our custom seems to have settled on this. Okay. So fine. One thing that I'm surprised that Kasher did not plug into, which is just a survey, I don't have my hands on 14th, 15th century Haggadahs. I do have my hands on some replicas of those Haggadahs. Fine, it's replicas, the picture of it. Is where does this pasuk come from? It says, Shvoch HaMoscha El Haggadim, right? Read the pasuk? Asheloi Deucha. What comes next? Okay, now, so the close reader Mefarshim, this is in Silver Bear Bagging Test that we did the class before the last, concentrate on this difference here. Why are we asking God for his wrath? El Haggoyim. And then, of course, this should be, in terms of parallel structure, repeated. Not only pour your wrath upon the goyim that don't know you, or towards the goyim that don't know you, but also pour your wrath on the machlokah. So, what type of parshan is likely to try to make a deal between the El and the Al? So, that's the kind of thing the Malbim might do. Of the Gaon might do. In this particular case, I looked and looked and I found finally the Shimshon Forosh. You know who he is, right? Shimshon Forosh is a 19th century German. I have to call him a Parshan, but his material is more Musser. It's a homiletic. He was born in 1808. His granddaughter died a few years ago. Someone born in 1808 had a granddaughter who died a few years ago.
She's 107.
She was the daughter of the first rabbi of Ohrid Sevan.
She was like the first professor How did he get a dinner grant? That was like the first professor at some university in Russia or something.
Oh, yeah. She lived in Yonkers. She just passed away. She's 107. Shimshon Fulovich had a few wives. He had a wife early on, and then she died, and he had another wife later. He had a child at an advanced age. And,
so anyway, I'm sorry, this was not his daughter, his granddaughter.
Daughter of Hillel Klein. Hillel Klein married Shimshon Fulovich's daughter, and their daughter just passed away at the age of like 107. Okay. Anyway, he writes in his Perush to Tehillim that there is a deal to be made here between the El and the Al. Right? Is that the Al is more emphatic. You pour wrath right on someone. It means that the hot water is going right on them, right? As opposed to El, which just means towards them. After all, the Goyim are just following in the foolish footsteps of their Malachot. Right? See the deal? Their kings, their leaders, are the ones more guilty. So the wrath should be poured out of them, as opposed to the people just following them. Are they innocent? Are they? They're just like sheep. Yeah. So the wrath only gets El, them. See the difference? Okay. So I would have thought Kasher would have at least found what my eyes have seen myself, is that there are some Haggadahs that do have the word Al here.
Did we discuss
this?
Discussed
this a long time ago? Yeah.
I mean, it was a different style of Al, but
it was a different context. But so there is what would that mean? The Haggadah changed a version of the text? God had purposely changed them in Tehillim. It is El. Right? So the answer is, that's this Pasuk. Wow, who knew? Is actually a Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu took it out of the Tehillim, and he rephrased it some minor changes, right? Does it come up in Paragut, right? At the end of Paragut in Yirmiyahu, it says, Shvocha mosfa al ha-goyim asher lo yidu b'chor. Va'al mishpachos asher b'shem polo chorot. There it's the mishpachos. In other words, mamlachos doesn't even get into Yirmiyahu. There, you know, he's not making, you know, Shimshon Fulovich's diuk is certainly not to be made in the Yirmiyahu Pasuk. He's begging for God's wrath to be poured right on people. Right? Maybe if we wanted, since Shimshon Fulovich has perished in Yirmiyahu, I looked it up. He doesn't say anything there. Maybe his perished in Yirmiyahu was written before his perished in Tehillim. That perished has been translated recently to English. Didn't come up. But if I were to apply what he says in Tehillim to the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, it's that by the time of Yirmiyahu, the evil was so ingrained in the populace, which I'm afraid is happening now in when you convince people for so long that the Jews are you indoctrinate them for so long in their textbooks and whatnot, that the people themselves become such haters. You know what I'm saying? See the textbooks in Germany in the early 30s. If 12 Jewish doctors kill 40 German babies a week, how many German babies are killed by Jewish doctors in 6 months? When you're learning a question like that, it's a very complicated math question, right? And you're learning a question like that in third grade, and you go home and say, "Mom, is that really?" And you say, "Absolutely, that's what you're." You better not have Jewish doctors then. Right? So that, you know what I'm saying? 1939, when this kid is now 16, and he's being called on to participate in Hitler Youth, and he finds out that all the Jewish doctors have been fired, you know, even before then, or anything, then he's going along with it. We had to do that. Right? Doing a favor to our, so if that's how the populace is already behaving, so God, you're going to pour your wrath out right on them too. On the mishpachos, on the people. Right? So I would think that kasher would have found that there's no, it's not two or three, there's a significant amount of haggadahs and antiquity that at this point of the Seder, whatever we're doing here, now let's read on. You have the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. I don't know if there's outside of Shimshon and Fal Hirsch, if there's anything to note there's a difference between these. Right? Whether it's correct to darshan between El and Al, right? One thing is clear is that he did substitute mishpachos for mamachos. That's clearly a very big difference, a substantive difference. Got it? Okay. Go with me. Okay, let's go to page 179. That's a little burdensome to have like 8-17 sukkim at this point. Wow. But you can all understand. I mean, we touched upon this when we did that that monk's haggadah with the charoses, the blood for the charoses, and the blood for the four cups. So you can understand that Jews were this was a time of year where it was especially dangerous for Jews to be out there. You know what I'm saying? Which by the way, has to dovetail with with their halachos. That tonight is a Leil Shimurim. You ever hear of that? That because the night of Pesach is a Leil Shimurim, there are some halachal maisa things that we do differently. Right? One that we'll do this year. Right? You know what I'm talking about? When Pesach falls on a Friday night, in Shul, you don't say Magen Avos. Just skip it. We say Magen Avos even on Yom Kippur night, when it's a Friday night. Why are we skipping Magen Avos? I mean, it's a liturgical difference, a practical liturgical difference. Why? So you have to go back to what? You have to go back to why the Gemara says we say Magen Avos in the first place. So the Gemara Pesachim. At the end of Pesachim, it says because the Goyim didn't let us make shuls in the cities, right? So we had to have shuls in the fields, and if people come late, they're liable to have to walk home alone, and it's dangerous. So their Shmon Esrei, there shouldn't, for us, miss it today, because it takes you to sing Magen Avos. Most people could finish the whole Maariv at that time. How long does it take to say, in other words, if someone comes late, they won't daven Maariv, they won't say the Shmon Esrei, they'll just get away with saying Magen Avos. By the way, Tosfos in Daf Dalet, the Sefer Bracha, says that Baruch Hashem Olam Amen Vamein actually serves that purpose. Similarly, and that's why Ashkenazim say it, because Christians forced the Jews to also bake the shul way out in the field. And they would say, Baruch Hashem Alom Amin Ramein, instead of Shmon Esrei. Because it has 18 shemos in that paragraph. So it qualifies as like Smichas Yehulu Tfila. It's still part of you. It's a Tfila. I have come on time. Why should you? Oh, so there's a Zikaro to the people who come late. So that's why it's far. You don't say that, right?
No, we're talking about the whole section between Ashkenaz and Kaddish that Ashkenazim say, right? No, we don't say it, right? Now, the fact is that the Vilna Gaon also doesn't say it because he thinks it's an interruption between Yulul and Tfila.
The same reason, they don't say Rishamru, they don't say Kiva Yamazeh, they don't say Tikkun B'Shofar, they don't say Vayedaver, Am Yantiv. They don't say any of that because it's an interruption of Yulul Tfila, right? With me? So I'm just about parenthetical. What the Gemara says for Friday night to say for the latecomers, Tosfos and Dagdal and the Sefer Bracha says it's true every night of the week for latecomers. People are not just coming late on Friday night, they're coming late any day. Alright? So back. So, if that's the case, then the whole reason for saying Magen Avos, not by Yechulu, because we do say by Yechulu, that it's a different Gemara in Sefer Shabbos about being a Shutta for the Kodesh Baruch Hu and the Masih Bereishis, but saying Magen Avos, like a repetition of the Shmona Esrei, so to say, right? To say Magen Avos is for people coming late to Shul,
So I don't have to worry about them walking home alone on the night of Pesach. Why? It's a little shimurit. Okay, so that's all that's for Friday night. Okay. Just if I may digress another moment. It's like a chazar of Hashat. So you can hear it. It's like Magen Avos Midrash Chayim. You see the Maran Kadosh. You see the brachos are all rooted in there, right? So I would like to suggest that Magen Avos, that's Talmud Bavli. Talmud Yerushalmi, it seems that Magen Avos is serving a different purpose. Yerushalmi and brachos, Magen Avos is a richtig chazar of Hashat because it requires a chazar of Hashat, not the late comes, because there's a chiyuv to daven Marv on Friday night because there's a bracha on Rosh Hashanah Kadesh Shabbos. Why don't we have a chazar of Hashat on any Marv?
Because
the Shabbos is Rishus.
We do have Friday night. We have a
portion. That's what I'm saying. Because Friday night, the davening Marav is not Rishus.
No, but we still have a partial Chazara. I don't know if you...
That's what we're saying. That's what we're talking about. The partial Chazara is Magen right. Avos. Why, doctor? Why don't we do it on Tuesday night? Because Tuesday night, Phyllis Arvis is Rishus. Now, in terms of Arvis, okay. Friday night is no different than Tuesday night, but Marav on Friday night has a bracha. It bracha to Hashem, Kadesh, Shabbos.
Well, why don't we do a full Chazara on Friday night, then?
So that's simply because it's even according to that opinion.
There you go.
What I have to say is that since we don't do it the rest of the time, we're not going to do a full. We're not going to say the whole thing over again. We're just going to say bits of it, like Havinenu instead of the full Shemoneh Esrei. But I'd like to suggest that. The machlokis of whether Tfilas Arvis is Rishus or not is actually, it appears in the Gemara. Right? The fourth paragraph of Brachos, Rabbi Gamliel says it's Chova. Rabbi Yeshua says it's Rishus. That's the question that got Rabbi Gamliel kicked out of the Nasirs. Right? Because he made a design on that of Rabbi Yeshua with his question. Whether Tfilas Arvis is a Chova or Rishus.
What's a design?
He disparaged him. He made him stand. It was everyone else was sitting. And the rabbis say, we can't put up with more of this from Rabbi Gamliel. And they deposed him. That's where Elizabeth Azariah came up. Right? So it was over this very question. So according to Rabbi Gamliel, then, Tfilas Arvis should have a regular Chazaras Hashatz every night. Right? Which is about, it's amazing. Vilna Gaon, and we're really digressing for a minute, but Vilna Gaon says that the first mission in the Sechet Brachos, from Rabbi Gamliel, the same Rabbi Gamliel says it's Chovah to daven Marav, when they came home from a wedding, what's the question they asked him at 3 o'clock in the morning? It was after Chatzotah, before dawn. What was the question they asked him? Ma'aseh ubo ubanov shir Rabbi Gamliel mibes ha-mishta ba'amru. What was they say? Lo karinu es shema. Right? We did not say creation. I wouldn't have said that if I wanted to ask my father what I should do at 3 o'clock in the morning. I would have said, I didn't daven Marav. Right? Why did they say Lo Karinu was Shema? Found? So it's a big case from the nonsense because what we're trying to teach is, Daddy, we were busy Mishamei Achas of the Kal at the wedding, we didn't daven Marav. But we know that according to your opinion, that since there was a Chazaras Hashatz, right, somewhere in Maariv, maybe at the wedding, maybe not, but that we're Yotzei from that Chazaras Hashatz. There's someone in the town davened. It's called Amshev Sados, a Yotzei, when there is a Chazaras Hashatz. But Kriyashma, this is the Vilna Gaon's approach, the Rajba is also, Kriyashma, you can't be Yotzei Shemei only. You can't be Yotzei by someone else saying, you have to say it yourself. Your Malchus Shemayim is very particular to you. So they said, Lo Karinu El Shema. Marav, we know where Yotzei, because it was the Chazaras Hashatz. But Kriya Shema, I'm not sure if I'm Yotzei. So that's why they asked it that way. Let's get back to our question. If Marav is a Chova, so there's a Chazaras Hashatz. If Marav is not a Chova, right? So then I have to have a different reason for reciting these things at a
So for the people, Talmud Bavli, for the people who might be in danger coming home after Shul. And Pesach, no danger. Now how does that stem with the Ramal who writes all about things you should do, be careful at your Seder, because the Christians think that you're drinking the blood of their children. That's how it's done, right? So I read to you some passages from this monk's Haggadah that was found in Germany in 1803, with directions of how to make charoses with Christian blood and how to make wine with Christian blood. And he put it into Haggadah, thinking that Jews, people will read this and see, look at the nefarious intent of the Jews. Right? You'd be pretty surprised if you saw Haggadah like that, right? Everything else about it is very matter of fact, like any other Haggadah, right? With commentary. Okay. Lemaisa, I'll give you one other thing. There are a few others, but Lemaisa, you ever hear this minhag? You don't have to say Kriyat Shema Lamita the night of the Seder. Have you heard that? So if the Brachas Daf Hei says the purpose of Kriyat Shema Lamita is to ward off the mazikin, who might cause you to have a bad dream, or might not let you sleep well, right? Say Kriyat Shema Lamita, you say Sukkim, you're covered. So comes Halacha to say, the moment of Halacha, it says that the night of Pesach, you don't have to say Kriyat Shema Lamita. Why? So Leil Shimurim. The Mazikin have no control over your smell. Right? And there are a few other functions of this, but so that's the question. How can I say Leil Shimurim when there's no more dangerous time of year for the Jew to be walking home alone? Passover often coincides with their holy week, their weekend, or what they call from Thursday to Sunday. I don't know whether he is risen and stuff like that, right? Okay, but you should see the
last supper. The
frenziest time is Good Friday, and when the canards of deicide and the suffering, right? So, look, December 25th was no picnic either for the Jews of Romania, Poland, and some places throughout Europe. But the Ramah writes, if you live in the best wine to use for the Seder is red wine, because it reminds us of the blood of ours that was shed. Plus, there's a pasuk in Mishle, Al tere yayin ki yit adam. Do not be seduced by the redness of wine. So we see from here that red is the best wine. Right?
I'm saying don't be seduced by it.
That means that it's appealing. So you should use the most appealing wine for the Seder. Right? Look, I'm sure there are some white wines that are more expensive than some cheap red wines. But all things equal, red is the best wine to use. Except, says the Ramah, if you live in a place where they accuse you of
blood libels.
Right? Let's read page 179. Bahagodas Dermstadt. It's a German Haggadah. He writes, Lefi sherotzolo mar lo lonu mi milchemes gog. Wow. See what's happening? What's coming right after dinner? Let's go back to Hala. So this is Lolanu, which comes right back in to the... This parak is the... talking about all the things, the terrible things that Obey Avodah Zarah have done. Digress again. In the fifth parak, in the 16th parak in Shabbos, the parak called Kisvei, it says, after discussion of what the Gemara really means, that if you say Hallel every day, if you say Hallel every day, you are Macharif Magadif. So the Gemara says, so what about the guy who says, Yehichelki Gomri Hallel B'chol Yom? What are you talking about? You shouldn't want to be saying Hallel. He meant Sukkot Zimra. Okay? And then Rashi writes, Ashrei, the third and the fifth Hallelujah. We've added so much more, it probably take less time to say it. But the Gemara still nonetheless means that if you say Telem Perakuf Yud Gimel Kakuf Yud Ches, what we call Halal HaMitzri, if you say those psukim every day, you're Macharif Magadif. So the question is, how are you Macharif Magadif by saying Telem every day? Halal every day. So, there's a Lechem Chamudos. Lechem Chamudos is a perush on a page of the Rosh in the fifth parak in Brachas. It goes through a lot of our liturgies and davening and explains that. And it's very interesting stuff going on. I don't want to get into too much attention for us, but on this particular case, he says that the reason why saying the Hallel on a regular basis is Macharif Magadif is because of Lomanu Hashem Lomanu. To be saying a parak like that every day and talk about the Nekama and the Zoras and the Zach Inayim Lahem Lo Yud, you shouldn't even talk about those things every day. Even though your purpose is to contrast that with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? Nonetheless, so since I'm about to say Lolanu Hashem Lolanu and remind ourselves of the deleterious effect that Otei Avodah Zarah have had on the world, so, says this Haggadah, he says that it's first to me, he says, Mechem is Gogol Magol. So we're asking, we're begging Hashem to take Nekama out on those of the Avodah Zarah. With Or Zeruah, Tzarech Liftoach B'Shvoch V'Hatam L'fi She'Yizkarnu Mitzrayim Pa'amim Rabos V'Hamazkir Rosho Tzarech L'Kalalo L'Fichach Anu Poschim B'Shvoch. But why here? Right? You've heard of the terminology Zecher Tzadik D'Bracha, but the same pasuk says B'shem Rishayim Yirkav.
What does Yirkav mean?
Rot. Let the name of the wicked rot. Right? So he said, Hamaski Rashot Srichakala. Yeah, but why here? Alright, okay. First explanation explains why, but I'm about to say Lolanu, so that's what I want to think here. Alright, why here? Because we just finished the meal. Everybody knows that what comes on from here to the end. Right? How long does that take in your sefer?
What?
I mean, the fact is, if you want Makbid to finish the Afikoman by midnight, right, which is, let's say, 1 o'clock or so here, in Israel, it's quite a bit before at this time of year. It's like 20 to 1. Right? But if you Makbid to finish, how much time are you going to spend? You're going to sing your head off for 2 hours? Maybe?
No, we don't sing. I don't do that.
Okay. I remember the year I was in Eretz Yisrael, I had Seder at my Rebbe's house, and he lived in Beit El, which was just coming up at the time. Now it's old, you're ready to be struck. So he sang Mikimi Me'ofer Dol for 45 minutes. The tune, Mikimi, 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 45 minutes.
Did you get nervous?
So what I did was I timed, how long does it say Mikimi Me'ofer Dol once? So he must have sang it like I don't know, 80, 90 times. It was 45 minutes. It was.
Did you like it?
Oh, okay, I got into it, but it was like 3 words. At least now they wrote, we want Mashiach now to it. You can sing a different tune in the middle, right? But then it was just Mekimi Me'ofer Dol. I don't know, some people spend a little more time at the end. But you see, the Seder is coming to an end now. So if you're going to want to talk about God, take care of your wrath on Egyptians and people like them. So this is probably the best place to put it. Are you familiar with the Medrash about the drowning Egyptians? And you're familiar with it. It's a Mishnah Brura, it's a Taz. For goodness sakes, it's apparently a Beis Yosef. That some particular liturgical minhag on Pesach has to do with drowning Egyptians, tell me.
Isn't there
it's a very famous liturgical difference on Pesach. Very famous between Pesach and Sukkot.
Oh, no,
right, why don't we switch it to Chatzi Halal at the first days of Pesach, and on Sukkot we're saying it straight through. It's Yom Tov. Adarav, Sukkot does not have an end day. So Shana Rabbah is not a Yom Tov.
Pesach has at least an end Yontif. There's a seventh day of Pesach, it's Yontif. The Yontif at the end of Sukkot is not Sukkot anymore, it's a new holiday. Right? So what's going on with that? Why should we switch to a half holiday? Right, so the Beis Yosef already, but I believe back in the 13th century, he says, and then he quotes the Shabbat HaLechem, so he says, that Maseod I told you by Yom, but Timur Tzim Lamashira. Right? So I'm going to do that Tuesday, and then talk about that measure, should be a nice segue into Pesach. But that's pretty amazing. There's a medrash that's going to affect the way I say halal on Pesach, and now you're telling me that I'm saying shvachu moschel l'goyim. You know, I mean, it's the same way you see with the dipping with the finger, right? Can we see that? We talked about that earlier, right? First of all, don't do it with your pinky. It's supposed to be this. That's by looking me, right? If you're going to do it the way the minute wants it to be done, do it with this finger. Plus, that's by looking he. He the gematria is 16. And there's 16 dippings, 3, 3, and 10. Right? And if you look at anyone who ever wrote about this before any fancy, Haggadah in the year written from 1950 and on, is that the real reason we're doing it is that God, just as they spilled our blood, spilled their blood. It's not because we're so. Everything I ever heard of any Seder when I was growing up was, we're very upset at our little blood that was spilled from the Egyptians. Now, you can't have a full rejoicing because of all the dead Egyptians. Right? I mean, hey, we did sing Shira when we saw them drown. You know what I'm saying? What do you mean, Masio
Dato? So then how can you believe that's the reason as to why you have to...
Well, we'll have to pursue that.
Well,
yeah, because, you know what? The Taz, you know, you've heard of the Taz, to resolve, right? The Taz is the Klotzkasha. He says... If the reason why we don't say full halal is because of all the Egyptians that died, so then we should just stop saying halal on the seventh day. They died mostly in Chris Yamsen. Okay, so let's say halal the whole way through, and then just stop on the seventh day. The day they died. So the Taz gives a teretz. The Taz says that if we would say no half halal on the seventh day, but we say halal all the days of Chol HaMoed, it wouldn't be fair. Chol HaMoed would be higher than Yom Tov. So let's just stop on the whole Chol HaMoed. Wow. By the way, anybody in this room familiar? Because the Talmud asks this question on Daf Yud and Maseches Arachin and Daf Chavches and Maseches Tainis. The Gemara asks why we stop full halal after the first day of Pesach. Have you heard the answer the Gemara gives? Any thought? What's different about Pesach and Sukkot in the Torah? The Gemara doesn't go in that direction, but I think you're correct in that connected to what the Gemara says. No, it has to do with the Korbanos. What's the laning on Sukkot? It's the same dal b'yamashlishi b'yamarvi b'yamachmishi b'yamashishi. Correct. That's what the Gemara says. But on Pesach, we're taking out every day a different Torah reading about Pesach. Pesach is very rich all over the Torah. There are Pesach readings all over. Shlach Buchra, Kaddish B'Kaspa, Kesef. I mean, I'm talking about the 8 different readings of Pesach. All have to do with Pesach. Right? He gave an 8th one, Kol HaBachor. Right? But on Sukkot, it's the same. Sukkot is very, very poor in the Torah. There's only one place in the whole Torah that mentions Lulav Nesrog and sitting in the Sukkot. It's Parsha Temor. That's why you have to read the same reading, both the first 2 days of Sukkot. Right? So, what's going on? The Gemara says that since on Sukkot, we have a new korban every day of the week of Sukkot. We have Hashem, we have Shlishi, we have Rabi, we have Chamishi, right? Okay, I started talking about the different readings of Pesach, but on Sukkot, the amount of korbanos you're bringing changes every day. Right? But on Pesach, it's the same vehicle. You know what I'm talking about? Matir is the same vehicle every day. So on Pesach, it's more complicated to lay during the week. You have to take out 2 Torahs on Pesach. You have to take out the Torah of the reading, 3. And then you have to take out another Torah for the Matir vehicle. But it's the same vehicle each and every day after the first 2 days. So the Gemara tells us, I don't even understand what the Gemara is talking about. If you plug into it the reason you gave before, then maybe they're connected. The Gemara says that because the korban changes each and every day, right, on Sukkos, so it's like a new holiday each day, and I can rejoice with the newness of the holiday and say a full halal. But on Pesach, since it's the same big crop of each and every day, so I don't have the newness of the holiday, so I diminish some of my simcha by just saying half halal. Really? Anybody in this room ever get so upset on Pesach because it's the same big craft time as to diminish your simcha? What's the Gemara talking about? Right? How did this animate the difference between whether I have simcha or not? Right? Okay, so by the way, Yeshua's Yaakov from Tshuva. Yeshua's Yaakov says that there's an afkamina lahalacha here. What happens if someone was in a coma for the first 3 days of Pesach? For whatever reason, he didn't daven Yisrael. He never heard any laying about the Bikrat. And the first time he wakes up on the fourth day of Pesach. What's the afkamina for him? To him, this is the first day he's reading this korban. You should say the full halal that day. You hear the afkamina?
Just in terms of the midrashah, I mean, I would just say, the first night of Pesach. Some people in the Midrash should then not be an appropriate Midrash because the Chovru are being killed on the first night.
I mean, we are saying in the Haggadah, to be sure, there are some who have the minhag dafka not to say halal. That's our shul minhag is dafka not just we don't have the minhag to say it. We have the minhag not to say it in public in shul.
Some
have to say it in the seder. Some have the minhag to say it in shul and in the seder.
Right.
The legend is that when Rav Chaim was asked to take a shul, he said, "My Rebbe, the Vilna Gaon, said that if I ever take a shul, I should make a contingent on one thing." That if your minhag is not to say the halal, then you change that minhag and say halal and shul. It's the one thing he was mocked behind to say halal and shul. All right, but maybe we'll test that separately. But actually, that's you know what? It's the one right before this. We skipped that. But let me just go a little further with our point here. Is that that's going to be part of our discussion on Tuesday? This midrash about Maaseh Yodai Tovim Bayam. The works of my hand are drowning, and you want to start rejoicing in Saint Hill at Holland. By the way, in that Medrash, it's Mar Megillah, it's Mar Sanhedrin, it's Mos Rabbah, Mechilta, it's all over Chazal. It's a famous picture of Eliezer. Who are the ones being told not to sing Shira because of all these drowning Egyptians? Angels. And some Midrashim actually tell us how we know God is telling them. Okay, so the angels shouldn't sing full halal on Pesach. What does that have to do with us? We did sing Shira when we saw drowning Egyptians. And I don't know any medrash that says that we were wrong in doing so. I don't know. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says we didn't sing enough Shira. Or the Gemara at the end of Brachos that says that Yisro had to put us to shame with the way he thanked God for what had happened. That we didn't thank God enough. Right? What's going on here? Okay? So, is the Seder the place, or is it not the place, to either be gloating or to be begging for God to take out His anger against our enemies? Read just a little further. It says, "Mi'iri l'psachim evi b'shem ha'Yerushalmi tam la'arba kosos, k'neged arba malchios sh'nishtabdu b'Yisrael, v'remez l'ashkosam arba kosos shal tarei lo." Give the four cups of poison that Yirmiyahu refers to. Umisayim the al remez davar ze tiknu bekos revi'i shvoch hamascha lagoyim. You look at the pasuk the Meiri brings. Do you see it? He gives you the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Kasher should have recognized that. In the Tehillim pasuk, it's el lagoyim. You see in the Meiri, you should have taken note of that. These are two different pasukim. And at least according to Hirsch, the two different pesukim have a drastically different message.
They likely don't, though. El and Al are
in Eugene. No doubt, but when they appear in the same pasuk, you know, two different things like this,
then I don't know. People could be maybe more of this than, because if there was something to be made of it, I'm sure Kasha would have. But we do see is that the older Haggadahs say Al and Al. The newer Haggadahs are quote from Tehillim. Right? But you see why the fourth cup is the who are the four cups? Who are the four nations? Babel, Paras, Yavon, Edom. The fourth cup is Edom. They're drinking over the fall of Christianity. The Christians knew it. Right? They're drinking the fourth cup, Shlocha Moscha, on particular Goyim who are afflictions. Right? That's why it's on the fourth cup. He just said why it should be the fourth cup more than the others. First of all, because Rome hurt us more than the others. Right? I don't know. You guys don't get it? The fourth cup is Rome. The fourth cup is Christianity. That's why we're drinking it here. Right? Yeah. Okay. You could see, just read the rest of this. It's just 179 and 180 for some other reasons, okay? Some say, I don't know why we do it. You know, the Gemara, if you learn the last parak in Pesachim, on the drinking even number of cups, you ever see that? The Romans were also very makbid. They were very superstitious about drinking an even amount of cups. They would always have to drink odd numbers of cups. So the Rashbats mentioned this Gemara. He says, if you drink in even numbers, you're in grave danger. Okay? That's why we say that the four cups are, each one serves for a different purpose, a different mitzvah, so there's no danger when you're doing a mitzvah. Right? Oh, mipnei shemar, leil shimurim, hu mishumar mipnei hamazikin, v'chein anachnu armim she'ein lonu b'zeh hakos revi'i da'ago mipuranut, v'ashem yishpoch hamaso al agoyim. Again, alagoyim, lower lane. But as they were nikshar, lolanu Hashem, lolanu shvoch maske alagoyim. Here he says now, elagoyim. My goodness. So why do we have to open the door? It's so very simple. We have to look out in the street and make sure that there's no shenanigans going on outside. Were you in the, who's in the class when I said about the birth of the Marab?
Yeah.
Right? The night, there was also a terrible mischief going on in the night of the state. Make sure that no Jews are being beaten up out there. Make sure that no one's rushing into the shul to put blood in the Aron HaKodesh. Make sure that, you know, everyone's got to do their part. If you have a whole town opening the door and looking outside, at some point, it's more likely that we'll, you know, we'll... Okay. All right, we'll stop with that.